and surround her body, lifting her free of the ground. The water spread from her arms into giant arms and solidified into claws. Great wings spread from her shoulders, dripping water onto Elanir and Raiden as they hastily retreated. The water gathered beneath the Lydian, churning and shaping into enormous hind legs. She'd tried to cast the Phoenix Charm before, but it had not fit, because that was not her identity. The mightiest of magic was not fire or wind, it was the acceptance of self, and the hope of becoming greater. Within the Supreme Dragon Charm, Elidian launched herself off the ground and soared into the sky. Taraya slowed at the sight, but her rage compelled her to strike, and she banked upward, fire spilling from her beak and wings. They rose above the canyon to where the fading sunlight still touched the mountain. Elidian spun in the air as the fire passed beneath her. Then she folded her wings and dropped onto Taraya, who twisted, their arms and claws tangling. Elidian forced Taraya's beak aside and blasted the phoenix with water. The water and red lightning merged and detonated, sending them both tumbling away. Taraya struck the trees and they snapped like twigs, her great body blasting through canopy and trunk to collide with the earth, filling the forest with fire. Elidian tumbled away, her link to her farsight shattered. She struck the side of a mountain and cried out, the stone cutting into her magic like a rod across her back. She rolled over the side but managed to hook a claw on the ridge. Across the gap, she watched Taraya rise to her feet in the midst of an inferno, sparks bursting off her wings. She launched herself into the air with an unholy shriek and flew towards Elidian, red fire and lightning spilling off her wings. Elidian turned and leapt off the ridge, banking through the air to swing around the mountain peak. Doing so cut off the view, and Elidian dived into her combat farsight. She spread her wings and swooped upward, where she twisted and unleashed a blast of frost breath, catching Taraya as she came into view. Taraya shrieked, the explosion of frost and fire sending her hurtling towards the earth once more. This time she recovered before hitting, and flapped for altitude. She shrieked again, and Elidian answered in kind, her roar echoing off the surrounding peaks. Taraya surged upward as the sky darkened above. The air gained a chill and the wind blew, picking up momentum as it churned into a tornado. Then a second appeared, and a third. Lightning crackled across the sky. Elidian folded her wings, dropping just as the bolt of lightning struck the mountain top, blasting through the stone and sending boulders raining onto the forest, several bouncing into the crevasse that contained Verisith, causing the populace to flee the streets where they had gathered. Fear robbed Elidian of her farsight and she struggled to regain her hope. Swerving around tornadoes and blasts of lightning, Elidian fought the storm. But Taraya used the storm as cover and appeared through a cyclone, bursting into view with a triumphant shriek. Red lightning streaked from her claws and struck Elidian in the chest, burning a hole through the dragon charm and searing across her thigh. She cried out in pain and shock, her dragon echoing her sound in a roar of pain. Icy wind billowed through the hole, scraping across her burned flesh to leave her in agony. She cast a healing charm and banked away, narrowly escaping two cyclones that sought to trap her wings. She fought her pain and fear as she twisted and dodged, fighting to escape the maelstrom. But Taraya saw her effort and called on the sky again. Flaming lances of light rained down upon the forest, uprooting trees and flooding the scene with fire. Roaring, Elidian swerved to avoid the deadly rain. But the sheer volume of magic had pushed the limits of the magic of rage, and Taraya's phoenix shimmered, the fires beginning to cool. Elidian swerved back and pounced, raking her claws across Taraya's back and spilling fire down the bird's wings. But Taraya whirled, the flames brightening in an instant, revealing the weakness had been a feint. The bird's shriek was tinged with victory as it unleashed its full power on Elidian's dragon. Elidian released the dragon and dropped out of the charm, allowing the spell to take the impact in the chest. The dragon shattered, the explosion a deafening thunderclap that rattled the trees on the ground, the ensuing ball of water engulfing Tyria. Bereft of magic, Alidian plunged towards the earth. She screamed and fought to gather a new charm, but her fear held her in check. The earth approached at frightening speed, and she willed her magic to form, but the wings of air were still taking shape. Raiden burst into view, catching her so close to the treetops that his boots ripped leaves from their branches. Gasping for breath, Alidian looked to her beloved, who strained to keep her aloft, his giant wings flapping for altitude. "Raiden," she breathed, her voice tinged with relief.
"I'll always catch you," he called over the wind, then grimaced. "Do you ever stop talking? No, I'm not going to kiss her. No, it's not romantic."
"Look out," Alidian called, as a tornado carved towards them. It struck them in the side and Raiden lost his grip, but Alidian had found hers. She caught the tornado and subverted the charm, wrapping it about her, shaping the wind into wings and a long body, becoming another dragon. She caught a glimpse of Raiden soaring upward and then flapped to Tyria. The red phoenix streaked towards her, the tornadoes and lightning converging on her flanks like a cage. Alidian drew in her breath and focused on Raiden, on the hope she felt in his arms. Then she dipped into her farsight and swerved right, slipping between two tornadoes, her wings brushing the churning cyclones as they crashed in her wake. Tyria swooped around them and unleashed a war cry. Alidian's dragon was smaller than Tyria's phoenix, but Alidian did not fight in the present. She fought in the future. Her mind just seconds ahead, Alidian swerved and twisted, evading torrents of fire by a hair's breadth. Lightning lanced at her but passed beneath, the charge blasting the ground. Then she swung back and drew on the frigid air to breathe a current of frozen air, striking Tyria in the side, darkening the red flames, freezing her enchanted flesh. Tyria recoiled and dropped, but swerved and struck back, the magic of rage shielding her from pain. Red lightning exploded from her wingtips, narrowly missing Alidian as she gracefully banked away. Their furious duel carried them between towering peaks and back to Verisith. Alidian dodged every spark and flame, her mind still in the future. Tyria unleashed a hurricane of fire and lightning, yet Alidian slipped between the blasts, evading the deadly rain. Alidian saw the next several moments, and a glimpse of what came after. She swerved and twisted, banking to avoid the vengeful flames to reach the position she'd foreseen, and then attacked. Frost breath exploded from her maw and struck the phoenix in the chest, slamming her into the cliff above Verisith. Alidian landed on a rooftop, her claws digging into the stone as she intensified the cold, burning the phoenix's body, freezing the fire flesh, fusing the bird to the wall. She smiled, sensing the triumph. But the momentary pride blocked her hope, and she missed the sight of Tyria dropping out of the entity and landing on a rooftop. From there she unleashed a strike of red lightning. Alidian cried out as the lightning rent her dragon, the charge rippling through her body and shredding the magic. Her dragon burst apart, and she fell in a rain of electrified water and a gust of air. Her body twitching from the power, she landed in the tiny pool of water in the street. Every muscle spasmed, and she fought to drag herself away from Tyria. Verinai huddled in doorways and alleys, hiding from the carnage of the Oracle duel, their faces filled with fear. She expected them to come for her, but they remained in place, their gaze on Tyria descending behind Alidian. The flames had partially destroyed the city, and a blacksmith's shop had seen half its structure caved in. Alidian dragged herself through the gap and leaned against the anvil, but Tyria landed on the street and limped forward. She kicked the door open and stood, lightning and the dark storm framing her in the opening.
"Your agony will be endless," she snarled.
Red lightning still sparked across her body, but it had been dimmed by the frost gathered on her leg and arm. Like a beast gone mad,
She limped into the blacksmith shop and conjured a glittering sword from the fading light.
"Or perhaps I'll just take your head."
She brought down the blade, and Alidian instinctively raised her arm. The blade struck Alidian's right arm, the blade breaking against the enchantments infused into her flesh. The upper half flipped into the anvil, cleaving it in two like it was made of butter. Taraya stared at the broken blade, but Alidian conjured her own sword and struck Taraya's blade from her hand. Before Alidian could press the advantage, Taraya flicked her hands and cast whips of red lightning. Alidian stood her ground and conjured a hammer of light. Then she dipped into her farsight and the hammer turned purple, showing where the hammer would be. She ducked a whip and swung, driving Taraya back. Her hammer and the whips destroyed the walls of the blacksmith's shop, sending metal tools clattering into the street. Deep in her magic, she evaded the powerful blows and used her hammer to keep Taraya at bay.
"My friends will find the rune stone," she growled. "They will stop your army."
Taraya snapped a whip and issued a mocking laugh.
"They will find nothing. After Master Skirl created the runestone, I transferred the link to my life. Only when I die will your precious commoners regain their memories."
Alidian gave a savage smile. "That was the opportunity I sought."
"Mother?"
Elenir exploded from the ground and drove her sword into Taraya's back. Taraya shrieked in mortal pain, her rage abandoning her like a coward, the red fading from her flesh and leaving her empty. In a flurry of sparks, her whips disintegrated. She collapsed to the floor as Raiden alighted in the street. Taraya gathered a burst of magic, but he leapt through the opening and destroyed the effort with his sword. Then Taraya slumped, her eyes wide in disbelief.
"You cannot stop rage!"
She pointed her hand at Alidian, but Devkin stepped into the room and caught her final blast of power on his anti-magic sword.
"I think we just did," he replied.
Her muscles still twitching, Alidian caught the edge of the anvil and stepped around it.
"Rage has no power against a perfect hope." "You will pay for your betrayal," Taraya said, her voice fading.
"Your tyranny has been cast down," Elenir said. "No one will even remember your name." Taraya's features tightened and then relaxed in death. Then an orange light gathered around her body, brightening to blinding. Alidian made to shield her arm, but the light burst outward, expanding at an impossible speed before it disappeared. They all staggered, and Alidian reached to her heart, where a strange hook she hadn't noticed suddenly evaporated. Raiden smiled, his expression one of relief.
"The people's loyalty has been returned to them," he said.
Marrow appeared in the doorway and clutched her side. Panting from her effort to reach the conflict, she spotted Taraya's body and grunted in irritation.
"Did I miss it?"
Raiden twitched.
"She says yes."
Alidian laughed, the sound washing over the group like a healing balm.
"Then the war is over," she said.
Chapter 48. Unshackled. Toron stepped away from Elsin's body and embraced Winter, the relief of the moment palpable. He'd loved Elsin, but that emotion had perished long before she did. As if sensing his turmoil, Winter murmured in his ear,
"I'm sorry."
"She made her choice," he said quietly.
Then he remembered Galathon and pulled away. Taking her hand, he hurried across the chamber to where the rock troll was slumped against the far wall. He was alive, but the damage had been done.
"I'll find a healer," Winter said.
"Don't bother," the rock troll said, his voice raspy. "I fought my final battle."
"And made your final kill," Toron said.
His laugh ended in a cough.
"It is fitting."
Toron inclined his head in respect. The troll had lived a brutal life, but in his final hours he'd fought with the rebellion against the Empire.
Toron could not have triumphed alone, and the troll had lost his reaver and his life.
"You have my respect," Winter said.
His voice failing, Galathon managed one last request.
"Tell her, Lydian. Her mother was right. I died with honor."
The troll closed his eyes, and his body sagged. Toron turned to Winter, for the first time aware of the sounds of battle waging outside the fortress. The proximity indicated the Empire had nearly broken through the pitfalls in Horizon, and when they reached the walls of Dawnskeep, the rebellion would fall.
"It appears Illidan failed," Winter said.
"Do you regret your choice?" he asked, and noticed he still held her hand.
She offered a faint smile and looked up to him.
"I may have hated Elsin, but I didn't just choose the rebellion. I chose you."
"Why did you not speak before?" he asked.
"I did not know if my sentiments were reciprocated," she said.
"They are."
He pulled her into a kiss. The soft contact quickly grew ardent. Then Toron heard a change in the sounds of battle, and they parted, both looking upward. They exchanged a look, and then sprinted up the stairs, reaching the courtyard to find the sounds of combat had changed. Instead of the clash of steel and screams of the dying, the shouts carried the tinge of surprise and alarm. Spotting Astyn and Aura on the battlements, Toron hurried up to join them. Full night had fallen, but fires burned in Horizon, the flames rising from shattered and broken titans. The already damaged city was all but demolished, with the remaining structures reduced to scorched and burning rubble. Astyn heard their approach and turned.
"Elsin?" he asked.
"Dead," Toron said.
Aura breathed a sigh of relief, the expression tinged with hope.
"The Empire's reserves have rioted and attacked the Empire."
"Illidan," Winter breathed.
"She broke the curse,"
Aura said, and gestured to the area outside Horizon.
"See for yourself."
Toron cast his gaze beyond Horizon and saw the Empire forces dissolving into chaos, the soldiers turning on each other with a vengeance. Many of the Empire soldiers had thrown their weapons to the ground and retreated, and the call to surrender spread across the army. The Empire soldiers in the city noticed the loss of their army and their courage wavered. With just a few thousand Verinai remaining, they cast about, their uncertainty causing them to hesitate. Noticing the moment, Astyn gestured to Aura.
"They need a leader," he said, inclining his head, "and you are the Princess of Griffin."
"Together?"
she asked, extending a hand. He smiled.
"Always."
Winter withdrew a stone from a pouch at her side and handed it to them.
"Verinai masters use this to be heard when training," she said.
"I think it's only fitting you use it to call for their surrender." Aura nodded and pressed the rune on the stone. When she spoke, her voice washed over the battlefield like thunder, the words causing all to turn toward Dawnskeep.
"Guildmaster Elsin has fallen," she said, "and your curse has broken. I call on the Empire to surrender."
"You lie,"
a Verinai nearby shouted. Toron held aloft the Amplius gauntlets, and Astyn gestured to them.
"We speak the truth. Your forces are outnumbered and your leaders have perished. Your guild has fallen. Your Empire has fallen."
Aura swept her hand to them.
"Throw down your weapons and extinguish your magic. Do it, and we will find you a cell. Do it not, and we will find you a grave."
The Verinai looked to their surviving high captains. Some stood just feet from paladins, and weapons remained at the ready. Then the Empire soldiers began to drop their weapons. Steel clattered to the ground, and magic went dark, the mages reluctantly extinguishing their spells. The decision spread across the battlefield around the city. The Verinai in the city shifted uncertainly until finally a master growled and dismissed his entities. He was too far for Toron to hear the words, but his look of disgust was apparent. Those around him surrendered as well, and in a wave of movement, the rest of the Verinai followed his example.
"It's over,"
Aura breathed, and jumped
as she apparently forgot her voice was magnified. Astyn raised his voice.
Many traps lurk beneath your feet. Our forces will aid the Verinai to depart and assemble on the western hills. Healers from both sides will assist the wounded. General Shalrick, dismantle the traps and clear them a path.
And to all those who hear my voice, Aura said, her voice rising with triumph. Welcome back to Griffin! The subsequent cheer was thunderous, the cry reverberating off the neighboring hills as the people voiced their joy. After a year and a half under the Empire, the sound washed over the battlefield like a cleansing wave, thousands of voices blending with the same emotion. Victory!
Chapter 49 Peace. Leaving the destroyed Verisith behind, Alidian and her friends set their journey for Dawnskeep. A peek into the future was enough to reveal what awaited them, and for the first time in years, Alidian felt peace. She spent much of her time with Raiden, and the others discreetly gave them space. Sitting around a campfire with no threat of conflict instilled a sense of hope and freedom. They mourned their losses, and Alidian tried not to dwell on the fact that she was the sole remaining oracle. But for the week-long journey back to Dawnskeep, she managed to just be Alidian. When they reached the battlefield, they found a sprawling camp on the hill north of the fortress. The city was in ruins, with portions of the fallen titans still burning. Horizon was hardly recognizable, with just one building remaining standing. The solitary home sat in the midst of rubble and gaping holes, the walls and ceiling miraculously unscathed after the battle. Alidian's gaze was drawn to Dawnskeep. Some of the walls had survived, but others were damaged beyond repair. Cracks and rents lined the battlements, some still glowing with latent magic. As much as was possible, the dead had been removed from the city, with a graveyard a mile away. Knots of individuals stood around the graves, mourning the loss of their loved ones. From the distance it was impossible to tell if they were Empire or Rebellion.
"It appears we've been noticed," Raiden said, gesturing to the approaching riders.
"Can we not go back to being alone?" she asked with a sigh.
"No," he said, and his fingers intertwined with hers. "But come what may, we'll be together."
"A future to look forward to," she said, smiling at him.
"You two are adorable," Elenir said.
"You have to say that," Marrow said. "You're the mother."
Elenir laughed.
"In case it wasn't clear, my part in the victory must remain secret."
"They wouldn't believe a hauntress from the grave assisted in our triumph," Marrow said.
Elenir raised an eyebrow.
"Hauntress?"
"You're not going to retire," Marrow said matter-of-factly. "But the people you aid will come to fear you," she snorted. "She likes you, though."
Elenir laughed. "All I know is that my future is my own."
"Goodbye, mother," Alidian said, embracing her.
"I'll see you soon," Elenir replied,
and then moved to embrace Raiden.
"Treat her well, or you'll answer to me."
He laughed.
"I swear it."
Marrow pouted.
"She doesn't want you to go."
"I know," Elenir said, "but you have a family now, and so does she."
"Just so long as she doesn't visit my head again," Raiden said fervently.
Marrow giggled.
"She didn't care for the reek."
Alidian smiled at the memory of Marrow regaining her second mind. Once outside of Verisith, she'd instructed Raiden to strike her, an act he'd been reluctant to do. After some goading, he finally slapped the girl, returning the mind to Marrow. She'd been so happy to be reunited, she'd burned Raiden's boots right off his feet, leaving him standing in a cloud of smoke. Elenir gave Marrow a warm embrace.
"You and she are like daughters," she said. "I will see you again."
Marrow smiled.
"If you don't, she will find you."
Elenir laughed again and then nodded to them, then phased to ethereal and dropped into the earth. Alidian watched her go with a trace of regret,
but also hope. Her mother had carried a burden for nearly 1,000 years, and for the first time she seemed unfettered. The riders proved to be Princess Aura and Astyn, along with Jester and Red. All bore scars of the battle at Dawn's Keep, but the reunion was joyful. As they made their way down the slope, Winter and Tauron also rode to greet them.
"You could have told us they arrived," Tauron said, dismounting to embrace his sister. "They arrived," Jester said brightly.
Alidian laughed with the others, and they descended to the camp. As news spread of Alidian's arrival, thousands came to witness her return, flocking to the area outside the camp to wave and call out to the oracle that had defied the Empire. The weight of her birthright returned anew, but this time Alidian did not fear the mantle. She smiled and greeted them all, taking much of the day to pass through the throng. Dinner was declared to be a feast, and the lavish meal was given to all, even the imprisoned Verenai. Tales were shared on all sides, and laughter rang across the hills, passing over the battlefield that lay silent. Alidian spotted Duke Senin casting dark looks at Aura, and recognized the sparks of a new struggle. Between courses, she dipped into her farsight to see that the next few weeks would be rife with conflict. Although the Empire had been cast down, it had endured long enough that the people were divided. Some were angry the Empire had fallen, while others wanted Duke Senin to be the new king. The man claimed that he'd merely feigned succumbing to the plague in order to stay with his men, and the moment the curse had been lifted, he'd led them into battle. While his claim could not be verified, he had fought with valor, contributing significantly to the Empire's surrender at Dawn's Keep. Many of the former Griffin soldiers had witnessed his valiance and had not seen Aura's effort in the fortress. In the first test of her mantle as solitary oracle, Alidian helped Aura and Senin come to terms. It took all of her patience to keep them from going to war, but ultimately she convinced Aura to hold to her oath. Griffin was fractured in two, with Senin taking possession of the east and Aura becoming queen of the west. She named her new kingdom Talinor after her father. Alidian foresaw decades of enmity between the two kingdoms, but it was better than the years of bloodshed it would take for one to conquer the other. Indeed, chances were Senin would have been the victor, and Aura's bloodline would have perished. Several times she considered the option to force Senin to abandon his claim, but doing so would have turned her into Tariah, and she'd learned enough from her mother to understand her role. Senin and Aura must resolve their own conflict, and Alidian could only offer guidance and advice. The one point they all agreed on was that Dawn's Keep and Horizon should be covered up, and the Forest of Orlacnia extended over. The Mage Wars had cost every nation, and none wanted the reminder. The Verenai were tasked with covering Horizon, a feat that took a year. The Mighty Guild had lost the most of any, and just a few thousand remained. Those most loyal to Elsin's ideals were imprisoned in Morgoth, while those that showed remorse and forsook the guild received lesser punishments. As time passed, one thing was certain. The Verenai were no more. Those with multiple magics were born less and less, and it became clear the Verenai were a dying breed. The kingdoms took the change in stride, with much of the populace merely grateful for the end of the Mage War. The Verenai were relegated to myth and legend. Chapter 50 Healed. Alidian cast her magic into the flowers and watched them bloom. Then she stood and stretched, pausing to admire her new home. Fashioned from a collection of magically grown trees, the structure intertwined the massive trunks into a single, graceful refuge. She could have gone anywhere, but she'd chosen to build the new seat of the Oracle just a few miles from the buried Dawn's Keep, a strategic location that put her between Griffin and Talinor and next to the elves. Alidian smiled as she caught sight of her beloved. Raiden carried sacks of crushed stones to one of the paths and poured them into place. The summer heat had caused many of the men to remove their shirts,
and she surreptitiously admired the view as Raiden worked.
"Delicious," Marrow said.
Elidian flushed and turned to find Marrow approaching, a wedge of cheese in her hand. She smirked, revealing her comment was not directed at the food.
"How long until the two of you are joined?" Marrow complained. "She wants to see the wedding."
"Soon," Elidian promised, and mentally added, "hopefully." The last few years, she'd spent much of her private time scouring books, searching for an answer to their dilemma. Raiden had aided in the effort, even going so far as to learn portions of the ancient language in order to decipher the oldest tomes, but the answer had proved elusive. Red joined them and offered Elidian a water skin, which she gratefully accepted. Dressed in white and red armor, the woman now led her personal guard. Jester had started the Assassin's Guild again, a group that now comprised Winter and Toron. All had come to assist Elidian in the final work on her new home. Upon seeing Red and Marrow with Elidian, the others gathered for a reprieve. Drinking deep from water skins, they took respite in the shade and marveled at the great trees intertwined just north of them. Rooms and chambers dotted the interior of the trees, the great limbs providing graceful balconies and bridges. It was not a fortress by intention, and Elidian wanted those visiting to feel a sense of tranquility. Although all knew she'd stood against the Empire, some still feared her power. "The gardens are nearly done," Winter said, wiping sweat from her brow. Raiden nodded.
"Another week, and we should have the crushed stone paths in place."
Jester grinned slyly.
"Then you two can be joined in marriage."
"You know why we can't," Elidian said, forcing a smile.
"She doesn't," Marrow said with a disapproving sniff. "Love doesn't mean waiting."
Elidian realized she'd never vocalized their predicament and reached out to take Marrow's hand. "If I have a child with a non-mage, our child will not be an oracle." To say it out loud hurt more than she'd thought. After the battle at Verisith, she'd seen an ocean of hope. But with each passing month, that hope had waned. She had never voiced it to Raiden, but she'd begun to doubt. But Marrow snorted in annoyance.
"Of course you can."
"We can't," Raiden said softly.
"Yes, you can," Marrow insisted, jutting her chin out.
"Marrow," Toron said with a sigh, "I think she knows what she's talking about."
"She's not stupid," Marrow snapped. "She knows Elidian has to be joined to a mage. That's why she fixed Raiden."
There was a moment of silence as they all stared at her. Then Raiden jerked his head.
"What do you mean, fixed me?"
Marrow rolled her eyes like it was obvious.
"When she was in your head, she activated the part of you that could do magic."
"What part?" he said. "I've never performed magic."
"Are we the only ones that understand anything?" Marrow demanded. "You had the potential for four magics, but you were born without a trigger. She fixed that when she was in your head. Did you not figure that out?"
"How was he supposed to know?"
Toron asked in exasperation.
"She said she told you,"
Marrow said, scrunching her face up and arguing with her second mind.
"You don't remember? How can you not remember? This is the kind of thing you need to remember."
Red laughed and pointed to Raiden, who looked stunned.
"Well," she asked, "you heard the girl."
Raiden's eyes found Elidian, who was too shocked and hopeful to speak.
"Is it possible?"
"If what Toron learned in the City of Dawn is true, then it's possible." Elidian could barely breathe, her hope so bright, the words tumbled from her lips. Raiden looked uncertain.
"How do I..."
He held his hands up helplessly.
"Try to grow a plant," Winter said, pointing to a rose bush that had just been planted.
Raiden swallowed and turned to it. Elidian could hardly speak as she watched him point to the plant and will it to grow.
For several seconds they all stood in silence, all not daring to speak, and a rose began to bloom. The bud swelled and blossomed, the petals folding open in a vibrant display of beauty. Raiden's eyes widened in astonishment, ending the burst of magic. No one moved until he reached out and used a knife to pluck the rose. He stared at it, like it was about to bite him, and then slowly rotated to Alidian. A slow smile spread on her face as he offered it to her.
"Alidian," he breathed, "will you be joined to me?"
Overwhelmed with emotion, she reached out and accepted the rose. "I thought you'd never ask." Tears blurred her vision as the others shouted, but she saw Raiden wreathed in light. A huge grin on his face, he pulled her into a kiss, the contact filled with hope for the future. The future she'd begun to fear would be lost forever. Standing with friends, family, and her beloved, Alidian marveled at the contrast to her year in Tariah's cell. Laughing with joy, she brushed the last of the tears away. After the war, she'd felt the scars would never fade, but in that moment she sensed a shift towards the future. She felt whole. She felt hope. Epilogue. Divided. 10 years after the war. Alidian entered Verisith, using the same tunnel Raiden had used when he sought the loyalty runestone. She'd sealed the opening shortly after the war to prevent looters from going to Verisith. She needn't have bothered. The guardians of the city may have been destroyed, but the guardians with a source managed to repair themselves. After just 10 years, dozens of guardians lurked in the city depths, giving Verisith a lethal reputation among thieves. Alone, she ascended beneath the once mighty fortress. The chambers were empty and hollow, the light orbs flickering and dying. Her boots clicked on the floor, the sound echoing in a disturbing silence. The fate of Verisith had caused no small amount of conflict. Many had wanted to take possession of the fortress, while the still-surviving Verinai wanted it back. Both wanted it for their own means, to use the secrets of the Verinai for their own power. Since the three Verinai fortresses lay outside claimed lands, they fell under her authority. After studying the future, she decided to leave them to time. Forbidding anyone from owning the fortresses also hid a secret. Verisith served as home to Elenia. Alidian reached the keep and avoided the guardians, working her way to the office of Guildmaster Elson. When she opened the door, she found her mother sitting at the desk, poring over a Verinai tome. "Daughter," she said with a smile, and rose to embrace her. "Hauntress," Alidian replied, causing her to laugh. "Do the people believe the city is stalked by a wraith?" she asked. "They do indeed," Alidian said. "And it will ensure people do not foolishly seek the city's secrets." "A wise decision," Elenir said, gesturing to the book. "I have much to discover, but what I've already learned is disturbing."
"It cannot be as disturbing as what I learned from the Eternals," Alidian said.
It had been 2 years since three Eternals appeared in her home and revealed the truth of Luminea, the Kray, and the Ancient Race. The revelations had been enormous and disturbing, and even with Elenir to soften the blow, she didn't sleep for months. Raiden had noticed the change, and it was all she could do to lie.
"The burden gets easier," Elenir said, "but the High Oracle has always carried the mantle of knowledge."
"How is Mal?" Alidian asked, not wanting to talk about the Eternals. Elenir stepped around the desk and spun the book so Alidian could read. She pointed to the passage. As Alidian scanned the text, which looked to be written in Elson's own hand, she widened her eyes.
"Is this true?"
Elenir nodded.
"The reason the Guardian spell causes madness is because it begins to form its own consciousness, and the two minds cannot be reconciled."
"Guardians are sentient?"
"Not exactly," she said. "They're more like beast than man.
But several magics were used to turn Mal into a guardian, Alidian said.
Indeed, Elenir replied. Water, mind, and light were all utilized. Mal already had shadow and fire from Turon as well as air from Elsin.
Turon said he used air to float around because he couldn't walk, Alidian said.
Then she read the next paragraph in her mother's notes and straightened.
You couldn't find a counter charm?
No, Alidian said, and pulled a horrending dagger into view. But if we use this, I think it will draw out the magics as it did for me. But you're the only one that can seal the magics, so you'll need to monitor the dagger. Do you think it will work?
Alidian considered the ramifications and nodded.
I believe so.
Turon will be pleased, Elenir said. He and Winter are preparing him now.
They're already here?
She asked. They arrived yesterday, Elenir said.
Elenir stepped to the wall at the back and activated a secret door. It had taken her months to find the Guildmaster's secret chamber. When Turon and Winter had finally trapped Mal, they'd brought him to Verisith. The four of them and Raiden were the only ones that knew about Mal. The end of the corridor opened into a massive cavern, the center of which contained an enormous source of water magic. The huge sphere hovered above a hole in the wall, and Alidian's eyes sought the figure at the center of the swirling water. Unconscious, the young man still seemed dangerous. Turon and Winter had managed to cage him using anti-magic shackles of Alidian's crafting, but he'd nearly escaped numerous times, forcing Alidian to cast a sleeping charm.
Alidian, Turon said, looking up from the table. I'm glad you came.
I wouldn't miss it, she replied,
and then nodded to Winter, who waddled around the table. She was well into a pregnancy, but had refused to leave Turon's side. Alidian embraced the woman.
Can you do it? Winter asked.
Alidian pulled away and smiled.
I believe I can, she said.
Winter's face was twisted with worry, a sharp contrast to the hope on Turon's features. He stared at his son like it was the dawn after an endless night, and Alidian realized Winter feared for him if the attempt failed.
Remember Turon, Elenir said. This has never been used on a guardian.
I know, Turon said impatiently. But it's my only chance to get my son.
Alidian looked between the three of them. It had been a year since Turon captured Mal, and they'd spent much of the time holed up in Verisith, searching for an answer only Alidian could provide. Alidian accepted the dagger from Elenir and held it aloft.
A horrending dagger, she said. It will take the magic from his flesh, but it should leave him alive.
Will it hurt?
Turon asked, turning to Alidian. Alidian nodded soberly.
A great deal, unfortunately,
Turon steeled himself.
Do it.
Alidian nodded and strode to the edge of the hole. Then she held the dagger aloft and used a gust charm to send it into the sphere of water. It plunged into the ball of water magic and sank into Mal's chest. His eyes snapped open and he screamed. He clawed at the dagger's hilt, but the blade would not be withdrawn. It seeped into his soul and leached away the magics fused to his flesh. Mal's body shimmered as the water was taken, and he arched his back, screaming again.
Mal!
Turon shouted, and Winter took his hand. But he was beyond hearing. His body trembled, his fingers clenched so tightly that blood ran from his fingernails. Water magic blossomed from the dagger and poured into the sphere. It was not pure, and the water darkened. Mind and light came next, and then fire and shadow seeped from the dagger.
He's been a guardian for too long, Elenir said.
The dagger is taking his essence.
It's killing him!
Turon cried, his voice tinged with panic. Alidian grimaced as the boy shrieked again and raised her hand, intent on destroying the dagger. But Elenir caught her wrist as the magics began to coalesce into a second shape. Arms and legs began to form, the water instinctively taking human form.
Wait! Elenir had to shout over Mal's continued screams. What is happening? Toron demanded.
The Guardian is reforming itself using Mal's essence, Alidian said.
Stop it before it kills him, Toron growled.
No, Elenir shouted. Wait until it's almost finished. Then destroy the dagger. Are you certain? Alidian asked, casting her an uncertain glance.
Trust me, Elenir replied, her gaze fixed on Mal.
Alidian growled at the choice and dipped into her farsight, but Mal's future was completely absent, the next few moments too chaotic for a future to be set. Deciding to trust her mother, Alidian stayed her hand. The Guardian leached away from Mal's body and formed its own flesh. Crafted from several magics and the boy's essence, it shaped into a second body, the torso forming first, then the arms and legs, and finally the skull and head. As the features formed, it became clear it would even look like Mal, right down to the eyes. Now, Elenir said. Alidian clenched her fist, and the dagger shattered, its magic disintegrating. The thread of air magic withdrew back into Mal's body, and he gasped. Trembling from the pain, he looked about with new eyes.
Father?
He asked, his gaze finding Toron.
I'm here,
Toron choked. Alidian manipulated the sphere and brought Mal out. He appeared much the same, but the darkness to his eyes was absent. Now a bright blue, his gaze remained fixed on his father. His limbs shook from the ordeal and his legs were weak, the flesh unable to support a body. Much like a physical scar, the legacy would remain a part of him until his death.
Son,
Toron choked, and engulfed the boy in a crushing embrace.
What happened?
The boy asked, his tone confused and uncertain.
It doesn't matter now, Toron said. You have returned to me.
Still cautious, Alidian looked to the Guardian to find it too was awake. It looked about itself with interest, confused and uncertain. The trace of madness was gone, but it retained much of its power.
Mal, Winter said, are you well?
The boy smiled.
I remember you, he said. I'm glad you found my father.
He tried to walk and fell, instinctively casting a bubble of air that held him aloft. He laughed, the childlike amusement reverberating off the cavern.
I love riding the air, he exclaimed. But did not Mother attempt to heal my legs?
In tears, Toron wrapped the youth in an embrace.
You have always been whole.
Alidian stabbed a finger to the door and Elenir understood the order. She ushered the family to the tunnel. Too engrossed in having his son returned, Toron did not even look at the Guardian, still trapped in the water sphere.
Why am I trapped?
It asked, its eyes scanning the chamber with interest.
I'm sorry, she said, watching the Guardian. But I do not know what you are.
The Guardian shook his head in confusion.
How long will you keep me bound?
Alidian frowned and dipped into her mage sight. The being was a mixture of Mal's essence and five pure magics, but she did not sense the chaos she did from other Guardians. It was unique, that much was certain. But what fate did it deserve? Death or life?
You will stay here for now, Alidian said. You must know you are dangerous.
I'm not a beast to be caged, he said,
a flicker of dark anger appearing on his features.
Alidian frowned. You speak as if you know your identity. Do you have a name?
The boy smiled, the expression chilling Alidian's blood.
Draken, he said. My name is Draken.
You have been listening to The Battle Mage, Book 3 of The Age of Oracles, produced by Greg Lawrence, Associate Producer Emily Durr, Text Copyright 2017 by Ben Hale, Production Copyright 2018 by Podium Publishing, all rights reserved. If you enjoyed this audiobook, let us know. take a quick moment to rate and review it on Audible, so we know we're bringing you audiobooks you'll love.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.